Good day, this is Greg, and I'll be reading the Vermilion County News for Tuesday, June 17th, 2025. And starting with the front page of the commercial news, the first story today is titled, Area Teens Take Part in Red Mask Theater's Production of The Giver. And this is by Kayla White. Teens involved in Red Mask Players took part in performances of The Giver at the Caitlin Randolph Theater in Danville this past weekend. The play, which was adapted for the stage by Eric Koble, based on the Newbery Award-winning book by Lois Lowry, was Olivia Cronkite's directorial debut. Jackson Lewis, 14, who played the main character, Jonas, said he had been acting since 2019, but this was his first time playing such a heavy role. It was very interesting, Lewis said of playing Jones. I haven't played a role where I had to do stuff like this, so it's definitely expanding my acting ability. Thorin Barnett Lassam played Jonas's father. Madeline Barnett Lassam played his mother. And Harper Musk played Lily, his little sister. Silas Reeves played Jonas's best friend, Asher. Ava Grace Alsop played his friend, Fiona. Sinai Brown played the chief elder of the Jonas's community. And Morgan Lovelace played the title role, The Giver. For Cronkite, a graduate of Danville High School's class of 2023, who has been acting for various theater groups since she was a child, the chance to direct one of her favorite shows was a welcome opportunity to experience what it's like on the other end of local theater. I wasn't sure what to expect, because I've always been on the other side of things. But also, being on the other side of things, you kind of pick up stuff you like and stuff you don't like in a director. So at the first rehearsal, I just decided I'm just going to wing it, she said. When Red Mask put out a call for a new director earlier this spring, Cronkite said she was ready. I already had the Giver script that I collected because I was a fan of the book. So I said, I'll direct. Why not? And I already have a show in mind, she said. Aside from her own interest in the story, Cronkite picked The Giver because it's a beloved story. It's a well-known show for people my age or the younger audience, so I felt like it'd be very special for them to perform something they know, she said. She also chose this show to direct because she feels it's a timely story. It's just a show about human nature. And in a time like now, I feel like that's really important to reflect on, she said. The experience of directing her first show was a positive one for Cronkite, she said. It was honestly fun just to find my own directing style. And I got really lucky with a good cast of kids that took direction exceptionally well, she said. And there was support from all the parents and crew. It was just a really great experience overall. Lewis and other cast members also loved working with Cronkite, they said. She's an amazing director, Lewis said. She's very personable. She's very good with directions. She collaborates really well with the crew. Even when she doesn't have the exact words or something, she's still able to get the general feel out for people to understand and react to, Lovelace said. She's always very direct with her thoughts. And that's really important when directing, because if you're not being direct, you're not a director, Lovelace added. Though Cronkite has no directorial projects in the works, she will take part in Red Mask's performances of August, Osage County, which will be shown at the Catherine Randolph Theater the weekend of July 27th through the 29th. For more information, check out the Red Mask Theater's Facebook page. And our next item from the front page is on a related topic. This is from CNHI News and is by Josh Flynn. It's titled, A Song and Dance, Theater Groups Navigate Complex World of Licensing. Indiana. When Lewis Cass High School produced the musical Grease in March of 2025, directors Abby Guy and Joyce Bowers had stories to tell about the licensing experience. For instance, the license didn't include some of the songs, such as Hopelessly Devoted to You, a song written exclusively for Olivia Newton-John to sing in the 1978 film adaptation of the musical. They had to purchase rights to the song and others separately through Warner Chappell Music. There were also optional licenses to use the names Pink Ladies and T-Birds. It is an obstacle that the Logansport, Indiana Junior Civic Theater encountered in 2023 when performing The Sound of Music. It needed to buy extra licenses to perform several songs that were not included in the first license, said JCT Executive Director Samantha Baller Honeycutt. There are a lot of challenges navigating the world of licensing rights when it comes to community and high school theater. The men and women doing so are Broadway fans, not insiders and negotiators. They are teachers, government employees, nurses, retail workers, and more. And there are often surprises encountered when working with a theater licensing company. Did you know a community theater may not be able to perform a show if there is a professional cast touring? Junior Civic Theater will perform Shrek the Musical in July. The show was meant for 2024, but the rights were pulled when the national tour decided to add more dates. So they performed Newsies instead. Did you know some companies require a theater group to license physical copies of the script? Sure, you can purchase the digital download, but you are still paying approximately $900 for those scripts you won't need. And often, a license requires an estimated guess at ticket sales. If the theater company sells more tickets than expected, then a phone call to the licensing company and additional payment is needed. Unless a theater company wants them to find out by other means and be hunted down. There are plenty of documented instances when Broadway has come after smaller groups that tried to cut corners, often by not purchasing a license to perform in the first place. Broadway knows. Most recently, Del Sol Academy of the Performing Arts in Las Vegas had to shut down its production of Mean Girls because the director did not purchase the rights. There are penalties beyond lawsuits. Some companies may ban organizations from purchasing a license for multiple years. The story had a happy ending made for Broadway. A parent bought the rights, and the Vegas arts community stepped up to provide a place for the kids to perform their play. The emotions and willpower of theater kids are not to be trifled with. Like most everything, a small handful of licensing companies control the rights to most plays and musicals. One of the largest is Music Theater International. Depending on who you ask, local theater groups have varying opinions on working with MTI. Opinions run from easiest licensing group to work with to a monopoly that hates community theater. I do a lot of shows with Musical Theater International, said Jeremy Lazenby Bruce, executive director of Curtain Call, a youth theater group in Kokomo. For me, they seem to be the easiest to work with. Lazenby Bruce is also a teacher at Logansport Junior High School and oversees the school's theater program. He came to Curtain Call having only produced shows in schools. He described the changes in licensing costs as a big curveball for him. At a school, if I want to license Annie Jr. from Musical Theater International, they have special school packaging where you can buy a whole show kit and royalties for about $700, he said. But if I want to do that same show at Curtain Call, because we are a nonprofit community theater for children and not a school, that same show would cost me over $2,000. I would not only be paying for the royalties and materials. That's the biggest difference. Plays and musicals are often repackaged for younger audiences as junior editions, cutting scenes that might be inappropriate for an age group or to trim down the runtime. Lazenby Bruce is currently working on Curtain Call's production of Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. For musicals, I feel like MTI, they usually look at 18% of your total theater space, he said. So if you have 500 seats and your tickets were $10 a piece, then my total revenue would be $5,000. They would take a percentage of that. That would be your royalty for the show. For example, with show rental royalties, rehearsal performances, tracks for Joseph, we are looking at more around $5,100 for our show. In Logansport, Lorian Stair Spicer, a director and performer with the Civic Players of Logansport, has been working with MTI this summer for a production of Young Frankenstein, a musical based on Mel Brooks' film. Our rights for Young Frankenstein through Music Theater International were about $3,750, she said. When we reserve the rights for a musical, we have to estimate how many tickets we will sell. It doesn't matter what price we put on them. It's still the same cost for us. We try to keep our cost to the patrons low, and we take a bigger hit. Junior Civic Theater is paying approximately $4,200 to perform Shrek. Bowler Honeycutt said he estimates the theater will sell approximately 1,000 tickets during its 3-day run. If we sell more than that, then we have to give them more money, she said. They sold more than expected when performing Beauty and the Beast in 2022. Bowler Honeycutt called up their rep, and the organization paid more to make up the difference between the expected and actual sales, which she believed equaled about $800. It's a rough estimate when we start, she said. But if we sell less tickets than we expected, we don't get our money back. You don't want to overproject yourself for a show. To perform a straight play, the Civic Players of Logansport normally pay $50 to $100 per performance. When all is said and done, a drama or comedy might cost up to $700. Musicals are a different story, which is why they only attempt one a year. The irony for the Civic Players is that the musical draws the largest audience of the season. Yet due to the cost of licensing fees and royalties, the organization often just breaks even when it comes to those productions. To make a profit, she said tickets would need to be priced between $50 to $70. Tickets for Young Frankenstein are priced at $15. People don't want to pay $40 or $50 to go see a musical with amateur actors, she said. And now we're going to turn to the obituaries for Tuesday, June 17th, 2025. The first today is for Curtis Stanley Medham. Curtis Stanley Medham, 91, of Danville, passed away on June 14th, 2025. A mass of Christian burial will be held on Friday, June 20th at 11 a.m. at St. Paul's Catholic Church at 1303 North Walnut Street in Danville. and Father Sear will officiate. A private family burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Park in Danville, and visitation will be held from 10 to 11 on Friday, June 20th at the church. Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville is assisting the family with arrangements, and memorials may be made in Kurt's memory to St. Paul's Catholic Church in lieu of flowers. Sarah Boulware. Sarah Boulware, 60, died at 1:51 p.m. Friday, June 13th, 2025, at home. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Rortvedt Funeral Services and Crematory, 3 South Hodge Street in Tilton. Sean Leake, 46, of Danville, died at 2 a.m. Friday, June 13th, at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center in Danville. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Leake and Sons Funeral Home, 304 East William Street in Danville. And that's the end of the obituaries for this Tuesday. We're going to return back to the front page of the commercial news for some additional stories. Next up, we have a story by Kayla White titled No Kings. Danville protesters participate in national movement. Several hundred people in Danville took part in a protest Saturday as part of the No Kings movement, a nationwide call to reject fascism, halt U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, raids, mass deportations, and imprisonment of immigrants without due process, to preserve democracy, and to return to American values like liberty and justice for all. The Danville protest was organized by the local chapter of The Indivisibles, a nationwide grassroots movement with a mission to elect progressive leaders, rebuild our democracy, and defeat the Trump agenda, according to their official website. The protest was intentionally scheduled Saturday, which was also Flag Day, in order to divert attention away from Washington, D.C. military parade celebrating the Army's 250th anniversary, which happened to also fall on President Donald Trump's 79th birthday. Donald Trump wants tanks in the streets and a made-for-TV display of dominance for his birthday. A spectacle meant to look like strength. But real power isn't staged in Washington. It rises everywhere else, read a release from the Indivisibles, quoting the NoKings.org site. The flag doesn't belong to Donald Trump. It belongs to us, the local Indivisibles press release read. This country doesn't belong to a king, and we're not letting him throw himself a parade funded by tens of millions of our taxpayer dollars while stealing from us and stripping away our rights, our freedoms, and the programs our families rely on. On June 14th, we're coming together to send one clear message. No thrones, no crowns, no kings. The protest in Danville involved people from both sides of the aisle and all different walks of life, as the local Vermilion County Indivisibles is a nonpartisan group of activists that advocate and organize for a progressive issues on the basis of inclusion, respect, and nonviolence, according to their official Facebook page. For Republican voter and former state employee John Drews, the key issue is Trump's lack of respect for the law and for the workers. I'm here in support of saving our country's democracy, he said, adding that he is a Republican who votes for local Republicans, but he is not a member of MAGA, the acronym for Trump's motto during his first presidential campaign, Make America Great Again, which some have adopted as a name for those voters who support Trump. He's trying to be a dictator, king, whatever. He's a convicted felon, so he's not going to abide by the law, Drews said. Everyone who is elected takes an oath to abide by the rules of law and the Constitution, and he doesn't do that. Drews also said he has no problem with people like Trump making money, but that they should give back to society. For Trump and others who are supposedly billionaires who made that money for him, workers did, and he's not paying them right, Drews said. Some children also participated in the protest, including Nora Anderson, who held a sign alongside her mother, Amber Anderson. On the sign, Nora had written some of the ways Jesus would be behaving if he were alive today in the United States, including helping refugees, loving everyone, feeding the poor, and protecting the marginalized. It's important that children understand what's important to the adults and help support us, but it's also important to fight for her future, Nora's mother Amber said. Members of several separate organizations were also present, including the Three Kings of Peace, led by community elder and alderman Ed Butler, as well as several members of the Vermilion County Pride Coalition. Danville native Cito Nunez also took part in the protest, walking through the crowd and playing anti-Trump songs on a large portable Bluetooth speaker he carried to help hype the crowd. While there were a few people who drove by in cars cursing at protesters, many also drove by and honked in support of the group. There were several key demands made by the crowd between their chants and signs, including an end to what they called fascist and Nazi policies, as well as an end to the recent uptick in ICE raids, resulting in mass deportations of immigrants and a large-scale protest response in cities like Los Angeles. Some signs called for liberty and justice for all. Quoting the Pledge of Allegiance, many school children recite every morning, as well as others which said, immigrants are not criminals, but the president is. Others called for a return to American morals and end to what they called tyranny under President Trump. Some also held signs saying, we are all immigrants, and no one is illegal on stolen land. A hearkening back to treaties made and broken with Native American tribes for land which was eventually taken from them by the federal government, which marched them hundreds of miles away, like on the Potawatomi Trail of Death, which runs through Danville. Nationwide, it's estimated that several million people took part in the No Kings protests, including those in New York City, San Francisco, Milwaukee, Portland, and other areas. The No Kings protest in Urbana included several thousand people, according to eyewitnesses. While protests were largely peaceful, officers in Portland fired tear gas and projectiles to disperse a crowd that protested in front of a U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement building, while a shooting during a No Kings protest march in Salt Lake City critically injured one person, according to the Associated Press. Saturday's protests come on the heels of ongoing protests in Los Angeles against ICE raids, which prompted President Trump to send in the National Guard without a request on the part of the governor, Gavin Newsom, who is now suing the president, according to the Associated Press. Next, we have Danville residents hosting Juneteenth block party at Carver Park. This is by Kayla White. This year's Juneteenth celebration will be a unique experience, according to facilitators Christopher Hightower and Javion Smith. Unlike in the last 4 years, this fifth annual Juneteenth celebration will be hosted at Carver Park. Though the celebration is typically facilitated by Hightower and the Juneteenth Celebration Committee, he said he got started on planning late this year, so he was glad when he heard Smith was planning a block party. With all the construction downtown, I felt like it would probably be easier to have it in a different location, Hightower said. And Smith doing Carver Park was the perfect idea, so we just came together and partnered on it. A traditional, more family reunion type style celebration will take place earlier in the day, June 19th, from 1 to 4 p.m. We'll have spades and dominoes. We're inviting people to bring their grills out, but there will be food trucks available on the site too, Hightower said. I'm reaching out to a couple of the pastors, so they will be speaking during the earlier portion. So there will be a word or two given, and we're going to, of course, do a prayer. Later that evening, from 5 to 9 p.m., the energy will shift, Hightower said. That later part of the day is really for the younger generation. It's going to be a chance to kind of let your hair down and hang out, he said. Smith, who owns a streetwear brand called Official Bag Getter, said he has always wanted to help plan events in the community. So he and his cousin, Javaya Williams, who has her own clothing brand called Lux Closet, decided to plan their own Juneteenth event. Among the things people can look forward to during the latter portion of the night is a dance battle that will take place at 6:30 p.m. between a dance team in Champaign and one in Danville. When Smith and Williams began planning the block party portion of the day, Hightower was glad. Smith really stepped up and did some amazing work, and I just want to give him all the credit in the world for picking up the baton and running with it, and kind of holding me accountable and making sure that we do continue to carry on this tradition, Hightower said. As to why it's so important to celebrate Juneteenth, June 19, 1865, the day slaves in the American South were informed they were officially free as of 2 years before, with Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation, Hightower said it's about showing people what the black community is really about. I feel like it's important just to continue to raise awareness about what Juneteenth is, why it has so much importance to us, not just our community, but to the entire country, and to give black people an opportunity to come out and celebrate one another, Hightower said. It's easy to kind of get caught up in the stereotypes of what the black community is and isn't, and I feel like Juneteenth provides that opportunity to really get out and show everybody what the black community is really about, he said. How it's really about family, fellowship, and just uplifting one another. In Smith's opinion, celebrating Juneteenth offers a powerful opportunity to connect with history and to celebrate black culture, creativity, and joy. It's hard out here for us, so I want to show the younger generations that we can do it. We have a lot of young black excellence, and not many people show what they are capable of doing. So celebrating Juneteenth is a chance for us to learn and support black-owned businesses, Smith said. And from the Community Briefs column today, we have Danville Municipal Band Concert. Under the direction of Dave Schroeder, the Danville Municipal Band will perform a free concert Sunday, June 22nd at 7 p.m. in Danville's Lincoln Park. Sit on a bench or bring a chair. And the Danville Municipal Band will perform every Sunday at 7 p.m. through July 13th. In case of inclement weather, the concert will be indoors at St. James Methodist Church on Vermilion Street. And the Hoopston Public Library will be closed Thursday, June 19th, for the Juneteenth holiday. The Danville School Board meeting, scheduled for Wednesday, June 18th, has been rescheduled to today, June 17th, at 6 p.m. at the Fields Administrative Service Center at 110 East William Street. And that takes us to the end of our time for today, Tuesday, June 17th, 2025. Again, my name is Greg, and as always, it's been a pleasure to read for you, and I hope that you have a splendid day. Take care.